Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday evening, February 16th, a little after 9:30 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for
the Kyle Lamb Show.
Yeah, the Kyle Lamb Show.
It's time for Under the Radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. The puppet David Griggs to one side of me.
Woo-hoo!
John Salica back with us. I think this is the first time you've been under the radar all season, John.
Second time.
All right. Yeah.
A little bit of a retro lineup here.
Yeah, this was pretty much our lineup for about 4 or 5 years in a row, at least, I think,
yeah.
For the show. But we've got a lot to get to, but I guess we got to start off with defining Under the Radar. John, why don't you do the honors of telling people what Under the Radar means?
Well, Under the Radar is going to be the 22 one-bid conferences. So we're not talking about the Power 5 teams or Power 5 conferences like the ACC, SEC, Big 10, Big 12, or Pac-12, and we're not discussing the Big East, the American, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, or the West Coast Conference. We won't be discussing Scarlet Knights tonight, but we might be discussing Scarlet Raptors and Scarlet Raiders.
We'll be discussing the Scarlet Knights, absolutely. Go RU!
Bam!
Now you did say there are one bid conferences. They're not. These conferences obviously can get more than one team in, but they tend to be the one bid conferences. And the other disqualifier is anybody in the top 25 of either the AP or the coaches poll. We consider to be on the radar. Therefore, for the second week in a row, we will not be discussing Murray State.
Yep,
you're out of here. They don't exist. When we get to the OVC, we're going to pretend they're not even there. Correct.
Correct. Yeah,
we did discuss the Monday night during the Hoops HD report. And I like to start these shows off, though, with a feature conference of the week. And there's a couple conferences that had a lot of news that we're going to get to even off the court. But I think I wanted to start with one that had some pretty significant news for multiple reasons. But I want to start with, there's many reasons why I love this conference. In fact, it may now, from what happened this week, be rivaling the Northeast as my favorite conference.
Oh, no. I think you're way overstating it here.
It's clear it's maybe in the ballpark, at least. It's the Horizon League, of course.
I thought so.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
When we talk Horizon League.
I thought you were going to the Big South because of Tubby Smith.
No. We'll get to Tubby Smith in a minute here. Yeah.
Yes.
First of all, one team in the Horizon League is IUPUI.
Yeah.
And we've got to start by refreshing everybody on what IUPUI is doing this season.
Yes.
Open tryouts for the remainder of the season. And that was great. And we loved it. We had a lot of fun with IUPUI, but that didn't quite make them the best conference. Then what happened, though, is that the Horizon League didn't kind of upset us when, well, here's what happened. So the University of Illinois Chicago is the other issue here. And UIC got an invite to join the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, and they petitioned to join and were invited.
And they got invited. And they announced that they'll be leaving. They announced about 2 weeks ago they'll be leaving effective the end of this July 1st when this current
July 1st
athletic new year. And so Horizon League said, well, wait a second, we've got a rule that says that if you leave with less than 1 year's notice, you're ineligible for any championships. That's the rule. Now let's go back in time a little bit here. How did that rule get in place? Because the league presidents voted it all in place on a motion brought by the University of Illinois Chicago to put the rule in place.
Yes.
Not only was it, and now UIC petitioned for a waiver of that rule. The Horizon League said, no, go screw yourself. It's your rule. You're leaving without the proper notice. And UIC went ballistic. They started telling their fans to call every league president. They went crazy. So the Horizon League issued a statement this week. They made a change. They decided restore eligibility. UIC is back in for all the Horizon League tournaments. But I'm going to go down here and pull up the article itself because I highlighted a few paragraphs of it. Let's go right here. The two I highlighted at the bottom. Following the initial decision, that was the decision not to let UIC play, the Horizon League proposed multiple alternatives to UIC leaders, which did include, by the way, telling UIC to go to the Missouri Valley and ask to wait another year. That would have been fine. At the time, UIC leaders engaged in an inflammatory and misleading media campaign that attacked the league, including posting contact information for the league's university presidents and chancellors on official UIC websites. UIC rejected any alternative and did not help the student athletes they claimed to care about. I've never seen, God, David, I've never seen
a conference
slam one of its members as bad as that was.
Yeah.
And then they went on to say, though, that even though UIC wasn't asking for it, they were going to give these student athletes the chance to participate this year. And they continued on to say, recognizing UIC leaders were not going to engage in a constructive pathway to remedy the situation, the board decided to provide the relief on its own. This is unbelievable, is it not?
It is quite a shot across the bow. I mean, rarely is this aired in public like this, at least not that I can remember, and I don't think you all can. It's just sort of, you might get some pretty pointed, blunt, and sharp language behind closed doors. This was in front of closed doors. Having said that, I thought it was all entirely appropriate.
This was amazing. And this is why I now absolutely love the Horizon League. I've never seen a conference kick a school in the ass as hard as they did on the way out the door, and at the same time did the right thing for the student athletes that are there and are going to let them have a shot at winning playing in the conference tournament.
Yeah, and I know this won't happen, and we need to move on. We've got 22 conferences to get to, but like, if the Missouri Valley says, upon further consideration, the way Illinois Chicago had a conflict upon how they were going to leave with the Horizon League has given all of us pause, we think it would be better to move in another direction. And then if the Horizon League said, well, no, you've already resigned and we've already accepted it, I might not stop laughing for a week.
Hey, maybe the MEAC will come calling. I don't know.
No, they'll just extend an invite to Chicago State instead.
Yeah.
But this is the Horizon League standings. Let's see what's actually going on in the court there. UIC won a game actually on Thursday. This was, I believe, last Thursday actually before this came out. And then beat IUPUI in a close game Monday night when they still thought they were going to be ineligible. Maybe that's why IUPUI stayed so close to them. But John, let me start with you here. Cleveland State and Oakland still tied in the loss column, although Cleveland State up a couple games in the win column. Oakland finally got a couple wins, though, I guess, this week.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're both melting down pretty fast here. I mean, Cleveland State has losses to Illinois, Chicago, and a rising Purdue Fort Wayne team. I mean, if it weren't for IUPUI, Cleveland State would have been winless. And then you look at a team like Oakland. Okay, they got wins against Detroit. They got a win at Robert Morris, who, if not for Green Bay and IUPUI, would be having a season that's more befitting the NEC at this point.
Right. And David, the hot team in this conference, though, is Northern Kentucky now.
Yeah, another really good week for them. They had not been hot for much of the season, but they have been the last couple of weeks. And here they are, a game out of first, at least in the loss column. And you heading into this tournament, you got to like their chances as much as anyone.
Yeah, we've only got a couple of weeks left. We are we're really getting down the stretch here. So we've got to look at some of these upcoming games. Wright State at Oakland and then Northern Kentucky at Oakland. Two huge games coming up this week for Oakland. They've really got to win them both if they want a shot at the one seed in the Horizon.
Yeah, and the way they've been going, I mean, Oakland has, I don't know what has happened to them, but like, you know, the way they've been going, they may lose both of those.
But the way things are going, is anyone honestly going to be shocked if Northern Kentucky and Wright State end up playing for the conference championship right here?
Not
in front of maybe hundreds of people at the Farmers Coliseum in Indy?
Yeah, you got home courts for the first couple of rounds of this tournament. The semifinals and the finals are both in Indianapolis. IUPUI will be hosting them and not participating. Let's run through the rest of the conferences, though, in alphabetical order. Start things off in the America East, where the big news, David, was last night when Monday night when Vermont went to Hartford and lost a thriller by 1 point.
Yes. and it was a shocker. I believe it's only the third game of the year where two teams have been separated by more than 200 points in the net, and there had been an upset. The other two were, of course, William and Mary over Hofstra, and then Idaho over South Dakota State. So this one of the bigger upsets, at least as far as the net goes, in all of college basketball this year. And shocker, stunner, I was stupefied. I know that those were the other – I think I was more surprised by this than I was the other two, and I was pretty damn surprised by the other two.
Yeah, I mean, Vermont did bounce back tonight, won big at New Hampshire, and actually going to throw a little congratulations out at them. With that win, Vermont did clinch the one seed in the America East. So they got not much left to play for in the regular season until the America East tournament. And should they slip up the America East tournament, they have guaranteed themselves at least an NIT bid this year.
And they should blow through that tournament the way they've blown through the conference minus the game over the weekend.
Right, but that was on the road. They will be at home for all conference tournament games as well. So
yeah,
that'll be even easier. They've got a home game against UMBC and a road trip to Binghamton coming up later in, over the course of the next 7 days here at least.
Mm-hmm.
John, Big Sky Conference. I'm sorry, A-Sun Conference. I almost skipped a league there. A-Sun Conference, where we've got Liberty, who every time you think they're ready to do it, they go out and do what they did last night, and this time they went to North Florida and lost.
Well, they went to the city of Jacksonville and pulled off the wrong kind of double here with loss yep. to both the Ospreys and the Dolphins right here. So Jacksonville State, they weren't able to completely capitalize either because of their loss at home to Central Arkansas.
Yeah, it's at this point, David, I think we're looking at a 16 line from this conference too.
I think it's getting
yeah. close to that. I still think Liberty has a shot to get above that, but it's not.
Yeah, good. If it's anybody but them, 16 line, and depending on who it ends up being, it could be Dayton bound. Every time I'm ready to say that Liberty is flexing their muscles and distancing themselves from the rest of the league, they go out there and lose a couple games. It seems so. I still think they're the strongest team. I still think they're the team that should win the auto bid, but you know, they're coming off of they're on a two game losing streak right now.
They've got a home games against Stetson and Florida Gulf Coast. They should win them both, but you never know. Game is circled this week though. Sunday, Jacksonville State at Bellarmine, a battle for first place in the West Division. I know Bellarmine is ineligible for the NCAA tournament, but they are going to be playing in the A-Sun tournament. So
right.
But also keep in mind, there's a makeup game for Liberty at Central Arkansas on Monday.
Oh, thank you, John. I missed that one. Thank you. John, I was going to the Big Sky Conference. Now I'll go there because I know you're wearing a little Montana State gear there tonight.
Yeah, it's just one of those random things I happen to have in the closet, but I had to break it out tonight after their wins against Portland State and Northern Arizona earlier in the week, as well as Weber State slip-ups of late.
Weber State loses to Idaho. We were just talking about Idaho's win over South Dakota State as being a major upset. That was a pretty big one, too. Not quite to that level, but...
Still very, very big. But Montana State, who Stalika is supporting tonight, suddenly starting to distance themselves from the rest of the league and looking like the best overall team. Southern Utah is still a fun story. Northern Colorado is coming on a little bit strong. Weber, I got to think that they've got it in them to get it turned back around, even though they did lose to the Vandals. But Montana State looking like the team.
Yeah, they are looking really strong there this week coming up. They've got a game at Eastern Washington coming up Thursday night, a game at Southern Utah. Huge game, actually, to circle there on Saturday. That might be a game worth watching if you're going to choose one Big Sky game to watch this week, I think.
Yeah.
That's my favorite 8-mile trip there between Eastern Washington and Idaho right there.
Are they 8 miles apart?
Eastern Washington. I'm sorry,
I'm thinking of Wazoo.
Yeah, you're thinking of Wazoo.
It's a little bit further, but you know, we'll call it 8 miles apart. Why not?
They're 8 miles. It's 7.7.
Okay, they are Wazoo, 8 miles apart.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Griggs, Big South Conference. Before we get to the standings, there was some news out of this league tonight.
Yeah.
Tubby Smith at High Point did retire tonight, effective immediately. His son, Gigi Smith, has taken over the head coaching reins there at High Point, at least for the rest of the season. We'll see where things go after that. But last night's 4-point loss to Longwood. It's going to be his last head coaching game ever.
Yeah, it will be. And Tubby Smith, a fantastic career, won a national championship at Kentucky, went to a Sweet 16, both at Georgia and Tulsa, I believe. Took Minnesota to an NCAA tournament. They got rid of him and really haven't been good since. And I was kind of expecting that High Point would have had more success with him there than what they did, but that's hardly a knock on him. He was really good for the game. I think he was great for the sport, and we're going to miss him.
Yeah, we will. And in terms of the standings itself, John, Longwood with that win over High Point, now 11-1, having bounced back after that bit of an upset on Saturday when they lost to North Carolina A&T.
Well, a bit of an upset in that they're no longer going to be unbeaten, but at the same time, A&T's around 500 in the conference, so not terribly shocking right there.
I was kind of shocked, John. I got to be honest.
We are, Winthrop is still sitting here at 11-2 overall. They've picked up a couple of wins. And so I think we are on a collision course between these two teams to meet again in the conference championship game. It could very well be Winthrop and Longwood.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the Wynwood
Cup. Yes, the Wynwood Cup.
Which at this rate would be at Longwood's campus.
Do you think we'd get to see it this time?
Yeah, ESPN had some serious streaming problems when the two teams played the first time. Longwood playing High Point again, this time at High Point, coming up tomorrow night. I think that's a makeup game. Then they're hosting Hampton and hosting Bradford over the course of the next week here, while Winthrop is at
Asheville. Two very winnable games, and then, Winthrop, like you said. Okay.
David, let me stick with you here for the Big West Conference as we're flying right along. We're making good time on the show, actually. So
yeah, we are. I mean, that's what we do here. And the story of the year, we thought it was going to be Riverside. They've kind of fallen off pace a little bit.
Rivervine Cup loss on last Thursday night was very disappointing.
Well, the other half of the Rivervine, UC Irvine, the Eaters, who I still think have the highest ceiling out of all these teams, even if they're not having the best season in conference. Them and, of course, Long Beach just on a rampage right now. I kind of think, well, the thing is, if the season ended today, for starters, like when you look at second place and sixth place, they're separated by virtually no games in the loss column. So
I think the team to talk about, though, is Irvine. They are now on a 6-game winning streak. This is the hottest team in the conference right now.
Yeah, they are. And after kind of a dip, and this is a team back in November that we thought was going to be dangerous. We were ranking them in our top 10. There was even talks about, I know we discussed about 20 teams in this category. Could they get inside the bubble? They certainly can't do that now, but red hot. And this is potentially a dangerous team in the round of 64 if they can start playing up to their potential, which they have been doing these last couple of weeks.
I think if we're also talking about other rivalries, what about the black and blue between Irvine and Long Beach State?
This
one's going to have potential.
Man, that's a great one. Yeah. Best rivalry
in the conference tournament.
Yeah. Especially if they meet in the championship game. As it's set up now, at least by the rough seeding, it would be a semifinal game. But I'm just kind of like giddy over the fact that we might have a black and blue final.
Long Beach this week, a pair road tests at Northridge and at Santa Barbara, the bottom of the conference, but they're on the road. Yeah. Irvine's got a home game against Hawaii, a Kauai team that's also right up there on top of the standings and worth a mention as well. And don't forget Cal State Fullerton, by the way. They're up there too. So
Fullerton up there. And what has happened to the Gauchos this year? Like, can they kind of kick it into gear and be one of these teams that gets hot?
You know what? You look in the loss column, they only have 4 losses. I mean, a few wins in a row, they could see themselves as a 2 or 3 seed in this conference tournament as well. So
yeah,
it's a conference has a lot of games that were canceled that are not going to be made up. In addition, games against UC San Diego don't count in the conference standings. That's why they're 0-0 there. So the conference standings are very out of whack. We got teams with 10 games and teams with only 6 games.
It's going to be a little strange. So.
The Colonial Athletic Association, as it's coming up on the screen here, and UNC Wilmington, John, is still holding on to first place, but it seems at this point that they're just clinging to first place to me.
Well, they're going to be clinging on to first place as far as the standings go, but if you go by the metrics, Towson and Hofstra are still going to be the probably the two teams to watch here.
Yeah, Wilmington not exactly burying a really bad William and Mary team last week, but they did get the win.
Right, but I'm looking more at what Hofstra did. We're talking about what a big week last week. What a big week is going to be. They were at Drexel, at Delaware, and at Elon. They picked. They went 3-0 on that road trip. That was huge for me when I look at this Hofstra team. And I really think that the Hofstra may be in the NCAA tournament at the end of the day here.
I think they will be. I've thought that they've been the best team all year, and that their losses were them like inexplicably to William and Mary. I think that they're the best team in this conference, at least the team with the highest ceiling. They don't always play up to it, but they have been lately. And when they do, they can beat anybody. I think it's going to be Hofstra.
The upcoming schedule here, Hofstra has a home game against Northeastern, a game that at the beginning of the season we would have circled. I actually was looking back earlier. I picked Northeastern to win this conference preseason. That's a little bit off.
They're just 11 games back.
Tomorrow night, huge game, John. Towson at Wilmington. Is that the one you're talking about, or are you talking about James Madison at Charleston?
Towson and Wilmington. Okay. Not to mention Towson has a bit of a trap game at Charleston 2 days later.
Yeah.
Charleston could be a dangerous team when we get to the Colonial Athletic Association tournament, so it's something to keep an eye on, I think, at least. Another conference that had a little bit of news this week was the Conference USA, our next conference up. And David, do you want to tell this story? Because this the fact that Conference USA was already our featured conference, I may have gone this way because of what this story is.
This was just phenomenal. So Marshall, Southern Miss, and Old Dominion informed Conference USA that they would be leaving at the end of this athletic year and joining the Sun Belt.
They did it with a statement, though, saying that the Conference USA had not helped them, had not negotiated with them at all. They refused to talk to them, so we're just leaving. They were supposed to leave after next season, not after this season.
Right. As per the agreement, like, you have to give whatever it is, a year's notice or 14 months notice. I forget what it is, but like, it was they're leaving before the window opens for them to leave. And Conference USA's response was basically just, no, you're not. And they released the fall football schedules today, and these teams are on it for the league, which is hysterical. And the only thing
I'm waiting for the Sun Belt release that's going to also have these teams on it.
Yes. And I guess they're like, you're contractually obligated to pay these games, and we're going to seek restitution if you don't. You are not leaving. Do we have a video clip of this?
Unfortunately, I don't. The video clip fell through. Maybe we'll post it in the write up down below. You can click on the on the video clip.
We're gonna save that for championship week after one of the end of the shows.
This is absolutely ridiculous here that these teams are telling everybody they're gonna be the Sun Belt next year, and Conference USA is releasing schedules with these teams in it, at least in football. This is going to be a total shit show over the next couple months to get this done. And I love it. I think it's hysterical. I don't know.
I think that was very interesting. That is how you respond when a team leaves. No.
No, you can't leave, but I'm leaving. No, you can't leave.
Yeah, the Horizon League should have just put UIC on the fall schedules.
That would have worked too. Yeah. I think technically the Conference USA is correct. The rules require 14 months notice before you are allowed to leave. Period. It doesn't give you the option of being ineligible. It just says you must give us 14 months notice. It doesn't really say what the penalty is. So Conference USA says you can't leave.
Maybe a larger exit fee.
there's going to be an exit fee. A rather substantial one.
There's
going to
be some litigation over this, I think. Yeah.
If they're contractually obligated to play those games, they're going to have to either play them or buy out of them or pay whatever. I haven't seen the contracts. But they will be paying. They will either be playing in CUSA next year or they will be paying through the nose.
Let's talk a little bit about this conference on the court, though. North Texas and UAB are the two teams we've been following all season.
Love
and
this North Texas
Our friend Rocco Miller, Racketeer.org, could not be with us tonight. Has been pointing this out about UAB, how awful they are in the back half of Thursday, Saturday, or Thursday, Sunday games. And yeah. they lost to Rice in that situation. They lost at Marshall in that situation. And David, this week, they went and lost at Old Dominion in the same type of situation.
Yeah, it was just a brilliant observation about their depth and just how they just run out of gas in that second game of the 2 week series. So it raises the big question: are they built to go far in the conference tournament? And based on what we've seen, I think the answer is no. And is there
I think they win their first game in the conference tournament. I think they blow out whoever they play in the first game. I don't care who they play in the second round. They're done. And if they somehow squeeze by it, there's no way they win the championship 3 games in 3 days.
Yeah, because chances are they'll be playing the team on the left there. And you look at the resume. Good resume by under-the-radar standards, but I don't think it's enough to get them inside the bubble. Now let's talk about the team on the left. The more and more I think about it, I think that this team will get a serious look and maybe get in if they win out. Now, winning out would involve a win at UAB, which would be a really good win. But if they get that win, they'll have wins at Wichita State, La Tech, Western Kentucky, which is not particularly strong at home this year, but still a good road win. They would be 8-0 in true road games. That is a phenomenal stat, no matter what league you're in. I like this team on the court. I think the paper gets them there. I think they belong in if they win out without winning the conference tournament.
And unfortunately for UAB, this is another so-called back half game at home against North Texas.
Yeah. I will give UAB this. All three times it's happened that they've lost like that, it was on the road. It will be at home this time. Maybe that gives them a few extra points. On the other hand, when they lost Old Dominion, it was on 2 days rest. It was a Thursday, Sunday. Yeah. This is a Thursday, Saturday coming up this week.
Right.
When they host North Texas after the Rice game.
Yeah, and UAB also, to their credit, did win at North Texas. North Texas at home this year, 10-2. Real good win for the Blazers. I don't know. Is this the road win exchange program that we always talk about?
I think UAB. I don't know that UAB has a path to an
right. Yeah, I don't either.
After that large bid, so but North Texas does with this one. I think I'd agree with you there.
Yeah.
Middle Tennessee now in the lead in the East Division. By the way, after Florida Atlantic lost the game to Western Kentucky after we spent last week hyping up Florida Atlantic. So,
yeah. But Middle Tennessee showing some life for the first time since Kermit Davis left. So kind of glad to see them.
Conference tournament is seeded by division, so those top two East teams will get buys into the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. Here's the upcoming week. Obviously, the game to circle is North Texas UAB and probably nothing else.
Yes.
It's Saturday. Middle Tennessee is at Florida Atlantic in the first place battle in the East. So might be worth watching.
Yeah, also, I just hope North Texas doesn't get caught napping at Florida Atlantic, though.
They don't think they will.
One other thing I would mention here, with their loss, UAB is now tied with Louisiana Tech for second place in the West there. If they lose this game to North Texas and Louisiana Tech could win out the rest of their games, UAB would have to play 4 games in 4 days to win this conference tournament.
Right.
I don't think they have a shot winning 3-3. 4-4, forget it.
Right.
They clearly want a game in front of the curtain.
Yeah.
John, over in the Ivy League, where we stands are coming up right here, and it's not on there. I would have to get that fixed, but it's not quite yet. Columbia is on the verge of being eliminated. The first team that's going to be off our survival board should they lose their next game. But let's talk about the top of the standings, where Yale, Penn, Princeton all in a very close battle here.
Yeah, because at this point, I think we can go ahead and pencil Yale in for sure as being one of the top four teams right here. And you look at a team like Harvard, they're running out of chances to crack into the top four and at least get to play at home in the conference tournament right here. So Penn and Princeton probably going to get in. Cornell's going to be trying to hold off both Brown and Harvard at this point.
Yeah, that's like I mentioned, Columbia, should they either lose at Harvard or should Cornell win at Dartmouth on Friday night? Columbia cannot make the tournament. They'll be off of our survival board. Check it out up top there.
Yeah. But
the big game this week, actually the big pair of games, David, are going to be in Yale. Penn and then Princeton coming in Friday and Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and again, that's first place implications. Now, again, I think all three of those teams are pretty much marching towards the conference tournament and the races for the fourth place team, but those are big.
And as John mentioned, the big battle there for the fourth place team is, can Harvard get that fourth spot because they are hosting?
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Metro Atlantic Conference. David, where Iona had some tough times, ended Friday night with another loss to Siena, but then bounced back at least with a pair of wins over Monmouth and at St. Peter's.
Yeah, and it raises the question, have they done enough to stay inside the bubble? And I don't think so. This is kind of wish when we had a selection committee guessing expert here. Did they do enough?
Well, Salika, put your selection committee guessing hat on. What do you think?
I think they would have been okay if they had a one strike in conference play, but with Alabama being their only real win of significance, they couldn't afford to take on a second strike right here. They needed the win at St. Louis to be in serious consideration.
And let me give you here the scenario where they would need it, the best possible scenario, which would be, number one, you win these five remaining games that are on the screen here for the regular season. Number two, you make a run to the conference championship game. Number three, you play Monmouth there, who's the next highest rated team in the conference, and you lose that game. So you now have the same resume. These five games and the first two games of the conference tournament are going to be tier three and four, not going to help you.
Yeah.
You're going to have a loss on a neutral court to Monmouth, who's 120 rated. That's going to be a tier three loss. It's not going to be a tier two. It's a neutral court loss to Monmouth. Will be a tier three, not a tier two. You're now looking at a team with three tier three losses and only two wins in the top two tiers, one of which was against Monmouth. I don't think you get in on that. I don't think you can.
I don't either, and it is just kind of unfortunate. This was a team that had a game scheduled against Seton Hall that they didn't get to play, but they did get to play a game at St. Louis that wasn't scheduled. When you look at, they were very competitive against Kansas and Belmont, didn't get either win. I just don't think that they did enough. I think that they had two strikes, the third strike and you're out, and the third strike in this case would come in the conference tournament.
Yeah, and so they better win those three games in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it's kind of rough. We talk about it all the time. Like, the best you can do is hold serve. You can't really improve your resume if you're an under the radar school once you get in the conference play.
So I would normally say, hey, listen, the big game this week is Iona's game. Circle it. I don't really know that these regular season games matter that much to Iona, as long as they hold on to the one seed at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Their only path in is, I think, these three games in the conference tournament.
Yeah, now you are playing go ahead, John.
Yeah, if we're talking about seeding purposes elsewhere, St. Peter's at Siena is going to have implications as far as number two and number three go.
I agree. There's some fun battles that we're going to have here for seeding down the stretch. I 100% agree with that, other than Canisius. But
And Iona, I mean, you don't want to fall down the NCAA tournament seed list, because if you're on the 12 line as opposed to the 14 line, you do have a more winnable game, or a game where you can easily be more competitive. But yeah, other than that, like, as far as landing inside the bubble, they won't be.
Yeah, I think the win over Alabama is enough to, as if they do get the automatic bid, I don't know that they could fall below the 13 line, honestly.
Okay,
that'd be very difficult for I'd rather still be at the 12 than the 13, but you know, maybe the top of the 14, that's probably their basement, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
And hey, if the rest of the bubble continues to be trash, maybe they can get up to the 12, or who knows keep winning out.
I agree. I think they can get to the 12, but be on the 12 below the first four teams. Mid-American Conference, John, I know you're a big fan of this league. Ohio starting to look good again. Toledo, not so good.
Oof, Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo had their second loss against Kent State here, and this time it was at home for the Rockets. They got off to a slow start, and Sincere Carey for the Flashes had, I think, 11 points at one point and was outscoring Toledo by himself for the first, I think it was 10, 12 minutes of that one. So that's not going to bode well for the Rockets, especially if they end up facing the Flashes a third time in the conference tournament in Kent State's backyard, albeit 50 miles north in Cleveland.
Yeah, I tell you what, David, though, have we been overlooking Kent State now? They're now only a game behind Toledo in the loss column. They're solid numbers overall. They also won at Akron this week. You know, this Kent State team could be a real sleeper in Cleveland to win the bid.
I think you're half right. I don't think we were overlooking them, but I absolutely, the reason that we weren't looking at them was because they weren't coming on nearly as strong as they have these last couple weeks. They really look as good as anyone. I still like this Toledo team. I just think that, like, if they're guilty of anything, they're guilty of not playing up to their ceiling 100% of the time. But this Kent State team looked really impressive in that game. They went to Akron and won. That was a big win. And then they went to Toledo and beat them pretty good. That's a hell of a week. To give you an idea, in my, and I know that, like, you're going to call me out for overvaluing road wins. There are teams inside the bubble that would not win both of those road games. I really believe that, at Toledo and at Akron.
I agree with that. Win both of them.
Yes.
Win one of them.
Sure.
Think most of the bubble teams have a good shot there. But I'd agree with you that there are plenty of teams that are right on that bubble line that could not sweep that trip.
Yeah.
Upcoming schedule here. Ohio is going to be at Kent State hosting Central Michigan. Toledo is going to be hosting Central Michigan also, and at Western Michigan. I guess we get the Ohio-Kent State game. I was at the game to circle Friday night. Probably a national TV game.
I think it is. ESPN. Yeah.
Yep. David, let me stick with you over in the MEAC, one of our favorite conferences, where we almost saw it happen. We almost saw the upset of the
millennium
in the MEAC when first place and looking so strong Norfolk State went to one of the worst teams in D1, Delaware State, and only won by three.
Yeah, and we're behind for a good portion of that game. Norfolk State getting it done. I still like them. NC Central keeping pace. Howard not too far behind. But I still think, despite really, really sweating against an atrocious Delaware State team, that Norfolk State is the class of the conference.
And let me tell you, let me ask you this question here. I've had, when I've been doing my brackets at the down the 16 line, I've had Norfolk State as my MEAC champion. I've had them as a 16 seed, but I've had them not going to Dayton. Would you agree with that? I think that
I've had them in and out of Dayton. Yeah. Like, because my Dayton, it's the SWAG Southland champ, which right now it's New Orleans and Southern, I believe. Right. And who else do I have down there?
I've had the Patriot League of the Big South champs there, and I've had the MEAC champ, assuming it's Norfolk above it. If it's any of these other teams, they're going to Dayton.
Yeah.
I also think the Horizon League could potentially have a 16 if NKU or Wright State.
Oh yeah,
they'd be down this year.
Well, they'd be either one of those. I think would be a 16.
The only thing is that those teams would have wins over Oakland and or Cleveland State to boost them up a little bit in the conference tournament. So. Which is better than anything that Norfolk State, the rest of this MEAC has done. Norfolk State this week is at Coppin and at Morgan State. That pathetically bad Delaware State team at NC Central, at South Carolina State. See if they can get that first D1 win. Three teams without one. I'm bringing up the Missouri Valley Conference standings here. There is one final that is not on the screen since we started the show. Loyola Chicago. I told you last week they might lose at Valpo. They won by two, so congrats to Loyola. They found a way to win a game.
I don't know if congrats is the right word, as Loyola just has been playing with their food, playing with fire, whatever metaphor you want to bring up, but getting it done. Let's look at their profile. Since we don't have a selection committee guessing expert here, we have Stalika. How damaging would that have been? I think this team is almost out of strikes.
I mean, they could probably be 10 or 11 worst case scenario right now, but if they lose a game like Valpo, tempt the fates right here. You're already getting passed by teams like Rutgers based on what happened tonight, but you don't want other potential teams sneaking inside the bubble to take Loyola down a peg should they fail in the MVC tournament.
Yeah. Now, I guess my next question for both of you, we've seen this team in November and December. They looked fantastic. We've seen them a few times in conference look really good. We've seen them at other times look like they were asleep, including tonight. Is this team good or not? I guess that's my question.
I'll tell you, they do have some impressive wins here. Including the win that they just picked up recently at Missouri State, who I pulled up there on the right. Just simply because for some reason one of the coaches voted them into the top 25 poll. I think that they're playing a lot better these days, but they have five losses in between tiers 3 and 4 and no wins over teams that are solidly in the tournament. Whoever put them in their top 25 poll was wrong. But still, I think Loyola Chicago still is going to be dangerous if they make it to March Madness. I don't know how they can get through Arch Madness, though. And I don't know if we can get a 2-bit Valley unless they absolutely win these last four regular season games, which include Drake and Evansville home and a real tough trip to Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa is on fire right now. I mean, that is not an easy game to go and win.
Yeah. Speaking of coaches that were on fire, Dan Mullen got burned off the hot seat and won't even make it to Arch Madness out of Illinois State.
The way it actually went down is they did announce that he would not be coming back next year. He was given the option to coach for the rest of the season. He decided to resign immediately and step down for the rest of the season. But Dan Mullen out at Illinois State. They then lost by 2 at home to Northern Iowa. That was last night, not tonight. Upcoming schedule though this week, the Loyola Chicago Valpo game, like we said, is already over. So Loyola is going to be hosting Drake and at Illinois State, Missouri State at Northern Iowa, a huge one on Sunday to circle here as well, though.
Yeah.
John, over in the Northeast Conference, I'm going to take it back. They are still my favorite conference. I love what the Horizon did to UIC, but this is still our favorite conference.
Yeah, Wagner had quite the week right here. I mean, there was a little bit of a fracas early in their game at home against Mount St. Mary's, where a couple of bench players from Mount St. Mary's left the bench and were promptly ejected as a result. So it gave Wagner a bit of an edge right there. But they follow that up with a home loss to Merrimack right there. I mean, that's going to have some implications as far as seeding and home court go in this conference.
Well, and we thought, you think that at first, suddenly, okay, now Bryant guys could have the driver's seat here. But David, on the same exact day, Bryant goes to LIU and loses. So they stay a game behind Wagner.
Yeah. So there you go. I was kind of shocked by the Wagner loss, although I shouldn't have been. Just law of averages, they would have got one eventually. But I still think they're very much in the driver's seat. They should have home court advantage throughout the conference tournament, and they should win the greatest conference tournament in all of sports.
We're still not quite at the final matchup between these two teams, but Wagner is going to be at Sacred Heart and hosting Central Connecticut this week, while Bryant is hosting Central and Fairleigh Dickinson. So we should see these two teams go 2-0 both this week. I would think at least. It'd be a shock if they didn't. Dave, let me stick with you over to the OVC, where, I guess we got to talk about. Well, we can't talk about Murray State. I'm sorry. We'll talk about Belmont, who remains two games behind them after picking up a tough, tough, tough home win over Morehead State and then picking up SEMO.
Yeah, and I believe in both those games, as we've seen recently, they trailed for much of the game. Morehead State, I believe they were down for about 38 minutes before they finally got control in the last minute or two. And, They finally open it up again in that other game. But when you look at their profile, it's a pretty good profile. And I don't think there's enough there for them to get in without winning at Murray. But if they do win at Murray and they win out and then they lose to Murray in the championship game, and they really should win out. Like when you look at, the Illinois schools at home, they're both terrible. Tennessee State is terrible. If they can go to Murray and get that one, and then if they avoid a loss until they play Murray again, I think the committee might take this team, Chad.
Yeah, what you're talking about is a win at Murray State. You have those three home wins, and then you'd probably have another win over Morehead State in the conference semifinals, what you're talking about here. As them being the 2 seed, Morehead likely the 3 seed. Morehead, solid metrics. I think I would put them in. Johnny, yeah. With me, would you have them into that situation?
I think they would seriously be considered right now. I mean, as long as there's no other bid thieves, I could be convinced to say yes to the Bruins. But here's the million-dollar question. Let's assume they lose at Murray State, win out the rest of the way. Let's assume Moorhead wins out the rest of the way. How do you sort out the tiebreakers between who's going to be number two and number three?
Well, in that case, they would be tied, and we did a little research on this before the show. And my understanding is, you know, I know so a lot of conferences use the net. I believe the Ohio Valley Conference is going to have the mascots come out and do a rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, the last tiebreaker would be a coin flip, and it would be a big one because this
rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, that's what we're going to go
now,
for.
Now, if this were soccer, Moorhead won the aggregate, but I don't think that's a tiebreaker.
Not in basketball, no.
Yeah, it would be a coin flip if they both finish with the same record, if they both finish with the three losses. With losses to each other and both losing twice to Murray.
Because they would have essentially had identical records with identical losses.
As we record this, by the way, Moorhead State is down 3. He's down. So they lose that game. All that is off the table anyhow.
Right,
But moving on to I guess we got to take a look at the upcoming schedule here first of all. Belmont is hosting Eastern Illinois and SIU Edwardsville. Murray State, again, we don't talk. If you want to hear about them, go back to Monday Night Show. But yes, they're a very good team. They're number 21 in the nation.
Now, if you want to talk about Austin Peay, they are going to have a game on national TV on Thursday.
At Murray State, I believe it's on ESPNU Thursday night. So check them out. Good chance to check out Austin Peay. Even better chance to check out Murray State. John, how about the Patriot League?
Yeah, this is another conference where Colgate is continuing to hold serve right here, getting wins at Army, at Loyola, also at home against Lafayette right here.
Yeah, I think Colgate is really establishing themselves. The other win of note, though, was Navy finally finding a way to hold on and not blow a game, and they won the game at West Point and the huge rivalry game over the weekend. So congrats to Navy for that after they completely collapsed the first 2 times they played. I guess we didn't fully sink the Navy this week, David, did we?
No, not quite. Right up there. And honestly, I'm starting to like their chances. I liked them at the beginning. I kind of wrote them off. Now I kind of like them again.
I just don't trust them unless they're – I don't trust them when they're up 20 points with 5 minutes to play, so it's hard.
When you look at 2 of their 4 losses, they had 20-point leads in the second half.
BU also coming on strong, a team that we I think we talked about a couple weeks ago as a team that we're kind of looking at might be able to make that run. Huge game Saturday at Colgate. They win that, and I think they are now in that conference discussion.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what happened to Bucknell this year, because this is a team that probably going to be top 2, top 3 in terms of an overall winning percentage in the conference's history, but can they possibly repeat what Holy Cross did about a decade ago, and that's a win this conference tournament from the basement?
I will say Holy Cross's defense that year, I think they were like in a 5-way tie for 6th. They just ended up as the 10th seed, but it was still from the basement. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it was.
Chattanooga, John, has had a nice bounce back, a real nice road win at Furman over the weekend. In a battle of the top 2 teams, it probably puts them in – it really does put them in the driver's seat for the 1 seed at this point. They're pretty much
I mean, that's about as good a win as you're going to get in the SoCon right here, and also going to keep them at arm's length from teams like BMI and a perennial contender like Wofford as well, although they're way back this year.
Yeah, BMI loses the home game to Citadel in the big rivalry that we were hyping last week. David, you know, I still like the way this BMI team is playing, and I think I write that off to a rivalry loss.
Yeah, a rivalry loss, and it's still not fun to play against BMI.
Little-known fact, those two teams, I believe, are 8 miles apart.
And they've never met in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that either one of them has ever been.
VMI has not. I believe the Citadel the Citadel has not. I believe VMI has been once or twice.
Okay, yeah.
Upcoming schedule, VMI is at Chattanooga on Saturday, a game worth circling definitely.
Just because they're so,
Chattanooga's out at East Tennessee State on Wednesday. That's become a pretty good rivalry in recent years, although East Tennessee State is definitely down this season.
Very down. Although they did beat Murray State, who's not under the radar.
Greensboro is also at Chattanooga coming up tomorrow night. I did not mention that, but let's keep things rolling here and go over to the Southland Conference. John, where New Orleans did bounce back with a pair of wins this week.
It did bounce back with a couple wins here, but at the same token, we know they're going to be pretty much fighting for rooms at the Dayton Marriott about 4 weeks from now.
This conference does use a ladder for its conference tournament, so it's one thing to keep in mind. So you want to get one of those top two seeds. Nichols in southeastern Louisiana, maybe a good battle for the second one of those down the stretch here, too. Upcoming schedule, we do see that New Orleans is going to be hosting McNeese. I believe that's the only game on there. Well, Nichols is going to be hosting McNeese and hosting Houston Baptist. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything? All right. Let's just move on. Let's move on to the Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Okay.
We need to circle one and only one game. And that was Saturday's game between Alabama A&M and Mississippi Valley State.
It was amazing. It was amazing. What was it, Chad?
It was a quadruple overtime game.
Yes. First of the year, I believe.
But that was down the bottom of the standings. Southern actually picked up the big win of note here, winning at Texas Southern to remain in first place in the conference.
I thought you were going to go with Mississippi Valley State actually getting a rare road win right here. So they're pretty much eliminated from centenary contention.
I think so.
That's two road wins for them on the season. Both their wins have been away from home. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, they were the favorites coming in, but it is hard to win the centenary.
But Southern's still holding on here. You got to watch out for Texas Southern in this conference tournament.
You do. And again, still kind of a logjam. Grambling and FAMU falling off a little bit after we were kind of a week ago talking about how excited we were to see them that high up in the standings. But again, it's starting to sort of look like it's going to be a Southern Texas Southern sprint to the finish.
The games this week, Southern is hosting Grambling. Texas Southern is at Mississippi Valley at Pine Bluff. The Southern Grambling game could be interesting. Actually, Grambling is not that bad of a team by
sweeps. Bayou Classic, little action there. It should be fun. Actually,
that's a nice, good rivalry too. Thank you. Yeah. Summit League, David. South Dakota State, one of three remaining teams that remains undefeated against in conference play, along with Murray State and Gonzaga.
Yeah,
only under the like radar this team undefeated in conference play, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, true. Cause, Murray State no longer under the radar. I really like this South Dakota State team. I liked them last year as well, even though they didn't get in. This is a team that could be very, very, very dangerous in the round of 64. Nothing really jumps off the page. They're not getting in, probably not without the auto bid, but this is a good team.
Well, John, let me ask you this. If they win these last four regular season games, that's about 27-4, I guess 25-4 against D1. Two more games in the conference tournament. That's 27-5 with a conference tournament championship loss. They got to get some consideration, don't they?
I mean, that would involve a win at Oral Roberts, who's going to be the team below them in the conference standings. I don't know how much credit they're going to get for that one, but you certainly don't want to be losing games like Western Illinois, St. Thomas, or the KC Ruse.
I think that they would get some discussion. I don't think they would get an at-large bid if they lose in the conference tournament title game, but I think they get discussion if they win six more in a row going into that.
They might. This team can really put it in the basket. They're a fun team to watch. They don't bother playing a whole lot of defense, but really this whole conference is fun to watch.
It is a fun conference. South Dakota State, we saw their schedule already, hosting Western Illinois and St. Thomas. They better win these two games this week.
Yeah.
Let's John jump over to the Sun Belt Conference, aka Conference Chaos. Can you make heads or tails of this conference? Because none of us have been able to.
We've seen Texas State and the hot take turns here as far as who's going to be the top seed right here. But for the Mountaineers, I'm actually somewhat impressed they've been able to defend their title from last year as long as they have. Texas State, you look at what they've done this week, getting road wins at Louisiana as well as Louisiana Monroe. But then again, these are teams that are near the bottom of the league anyhow. You look at App State, for example, they beat Georgia Southern, but their home loss to Georgia State, that's going to put them in a tougher position.
Yeah, I think that was impressive this week, what Texas State did with the two road wins. But teams have been doing that. They'll go out and get two nice road wins, and then go the next week and lose two games at home in this league.
Yeah, so it's like they're flipping a coin. This conference all season long has not really taken any sort of a shape. You know, here we are with about – you get the feeling that there's about six or seven teams that could still win it, and when the conference tournament starts, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get one of those top four spots now to not have to play a first-round game, and that could be a battle down the stretch here because right, there's about 10 teams in that battle. Texas State, as I mentioned, pair of home games this week against Arkansas State and Little Rock. I could see them going 0-2 in these games.
This league's happened, yeah.
Then a trip to South Alabama next week as well. But, you know, I think we just got to let these teams go down to Pensacola and fight it out in a couple of weeks of the conference tournament. That's all we can
meanwhile,
do.
Meanwhile, App State gets both the Alabama schools at home.
Mm-hmm. Let's list of the regular conferences here, the WAC, David, where New Mexico State, just when we were singing their praises last week, they go to Utah Valley and do the same thing BYU did.
Yeah, lost. And that's the second time this year we've really praised New Mexico State, saying, okay, now they're rolling. This is an at-large caliber team, even if they don't end up getting one. Then they go and lose. Now, Utah Valley, not easy to win there, but still you would expect New Mexico State to be able to do it. And now, like everybody else, they're going to need the auto bid.
Well, at least they behave themselves this year, Utah Valley, New Mexico State.
Yeah, true.
What you're seeing on the screen here, these may not be the same standings you see at the WAC website. There were a couple of forfeits this season by Lamar due to some COVID cancellations. I've factored those forfeits in here because they do count for seeding the conference tournament. So these are the standings for seeding the conference tournament, not the official WAC standings. Not that certain why there's a distinction there, but I want to make sure that that's thrown out there. If you look at the website and see that Seattle's 10-2 and New Mexico State's only 9-2. Upcoming schedule, New Mexico State is hosting Dixie State, I believe, as we speak, and they are up 51-38 in the second half. So they're well on the way to winning that game.
Yeah.
And what else they do? They're at Grand Canyon. Huge game coming up on Saturday, though. Great rivalry this conference. And then at Seattle on Monday. So real fun week for New Mexico State, actually. Yeah. Mythical conference time.
Okay. We've got, where are we going first?
How about the Front Range?
Woohoo, the Front Range.
Well, checking in on the Front Range. Wyoming still leading the way. Colorado still on their way to being thrown out for failing to compete this season.
Yeah. And Wyoming into the top 25, losing a non-conference game at New Mexico earlier this week.
The game to circle, though, Saturday, Air Force at Wyoming. It is a Front Range game. Wyoming has to win it, or they could fall into a tie with Colorado State for first place here.
So yeah, they could. And then next Wednesday night, we've got the second half of the border war.
Yes, the Wyoming-Colorado State game right
after
that.
That's actually very big.
That's a huge game for multiple reasons, including standings in the Front Range.
Yeah.
Actually, most importantly, standings in the Front Range.
Most importantly, standings in the Front Range.
Beehive conference time. Where we've got this BYU still up a game on Utah Valley. There weren't any games this week, but I believe, let's see if it's coming up this week. We know Utah Valley has one game left with Dixie State, a chance to tie BYU first place, and they did win head-to-head. It's coming up Saturday. There it is, Utah Valley at Dixie State. This could be for the Beehive Championship. And what do you win when you win the Beehive Championship?
The old crab. I can't even pronounce that. It doesn't even look like a word. It's just a random sequence of letters.
Let's see. Anything else?
We still have one more conference. We have the mythical Miami Valley Conference.
I don't think anybody in the Miami Valley played anybody. No, Cincinnati played Miami.
How about the Carver Bible Conference?
Oh, the Carver Bible Conference.
I want to congratulate them. They haven't been able to have any more games. 0-22 on the season, but we're still working to see if we get them.
We're still working on trying to get them some more. Yeah.
Let's go to our Hoops HD top 10 lists here. We got a few honorable mentions this week. Ohio, Missouri State, Drake, and Towson not cracking the top 10, but at least getting a little bit of love by one or more of us.
Yeah,
but we had a two-way tie for ninth place between that New Mexico State team and UAB.
Oh, UAB in the rankings.
UAB still hanging in the rankings there, but just barely. I think it beat by like 1 point. They beat out Ohio there. Seventh place tie between Toledo and Vermont. Vermont taking a bit of a fall there with their loss this week.
Yeah, well, Toledo lost too. It was a rough week for under the radar top 10 teams.
Chattanooga up to number six. Now they'd almost fallen off of the list a few weeks ago.
Yeah, big win for them, as you mentioned it. And South Dakota State dominating the Summit League.
Coming in number four, North Texas.
Yeah, way up there. We talked about their at-large chances.
Another team with an at-large chance, Belmont.
Belmont, that's three. High. Wow, okay.
I thought they could have been a spot higher.
Yeah.
Iona coming to number two. I kind of agree. I think I had Belmont ranked over Iona. Yeah. But Iona coming in at number two. And the number one under-the-radar team in the nation.
Right next to Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Yep.
Loyola Chicago, no surprise.
Yes, they are.
On that note, let's pull this down and run through any final thoughts. John, let me start with you.
I'll probably go ahead and do another bit of a throwback right here and go back to 1995. This was Xavier's final year in the MCC / Horizon League. Skip Prosser's first season, and they ended up going 14-0. They're probably wishing they were banned from that conference tournament because that year it was up at Wright State, and lo and behold, they lose to the eighth-seeded Raiders, who had an NBA guy by the name of Vitaly Potapenko hitting the game winner in that one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
right. There. And Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Yes, and I'm going to need your help with a screen shared, Chad. I'll let you do this. I want to talk about one of the features on the conference, and it's a page that you put a lot of work into. Let's get the conference tournament page up. It's, you know, essentially it's got all 32 conference brackets, including all 22 conference under the radar conferences. Are we getting there?
I'm working on you. You didn't clue me in on this, so I'm getting there. So okay. Keep talking about
that. Yeah, so but it is phenomenal information. We will show it to you here. Oh, here it is. It's coming right up. There it is, the conference tournaments. You just go hoopshd.com and you click on the tab. And this is a valuable, valuable page for coaches, for players, for administrators, because what does it do? It tells them where their tournament is, what time their teams are playing, and where they need to go. Without this page, it would just be total mayhem. I mean, it would just be a disaster. So, you know, athletic directors, coaches, conference commissioners, they come to this page, and Chad has it all scheduled out where everybody needs to go. Without this, could you imagine, Chad, you got the Big West up there. I mean, how ridiculous would it be if UCLA got confused and showed up at the Big West tournament? But we'll see, now they won't, because like as that field is revealed, they'll see, oh, that's not where we're supposed to be.
Puppet, this is going to be more important next year because Conference USA needs to know in no uncertain terms. They are not going to see teams like Marshall or Southern Miss in their conference tournament next year.
Right. So
absolutely. Yeah. But do check that tab out. Feel free to print these out, fill them out. As the fields get announced, we will fill the teams in. As teams advance, we'll fill them in at least once a day. Hopefully as games go final, at least, you know, every couple of games go final. But I guess on that note, let's go ahead and pull this down here. And I do want to take this chance to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with a bracket rundown show. Whole host of podcasts again next week. But on behalf of John Salica, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.